for all the saints who from their labors rest, who thee by faith before the world confessed. Thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. Alleluia.
Dear ones, welcome to worship today. It is the third Sunday of Easter. We continue to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please join me in today's call to worship. How joyful it is to celebrate the good news of God's love. We are called to be Easter people. Darkness cannot claim us. Fear cannot bind us. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen. And let's light the Christ candle. The light has come. Praise be to God. Let's pray together. God, you made this day for joy and gladness. Let the risen one abide with us this day, opening the scriptures to us. Set our hearts aflame and open our eyes that we may see in his sufferings all that the prophets foretold, and recognize him amongst us as the Christ, now entered into his glory, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Remembering the work of Jesus on the cross, that he came to suffer and die to forgive all of our sins. Let's come to him now, praying the prayer of confession. Let's pray. Gracious God, you have given us the greatest gift, your Son, Jesus Christ. And you call us to be people of courage and hope. Yet we step back, doubting and fearing. You challenge us to proclaim our faith, yet we hide away and whisper words of discouragement. Come to us again, O God. Forgive us when we seem to need prodding repeatedly. Help us to see the presence of Jesus in our lives and remind us of all that he has taught and is teaching us to help us live as disciples. Make us truly the disciples you have called us to be. Amen.
Jesus said to the disciples, "Peace be with you. Why are you frightened and why do you doubt?" As disciples, we no longer need to be burdened by guilt. We no longer need to be bound by fear. So be renewed through God's forgiving love. Be open to Christ's presence in your life, for he is here with us. To which I say, thanks be to God. And the people say, amen.
Good morning. Our first reading, our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 24, and I'll be reading verses 36 to 48. And the heading for this portion is called Jesus Appears to the Disciples. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking that they were seeing a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the word of the Lord.
After I retired, now just about 4 years ago, I did a little professional house cleaning in the months that followed, in that I divested myself of a few things that weren't so necessary for me anymore. I gave away some books that were no longer required. I threw away some others that were content-wise, well, they were past their sell-by date, not especially useful to anyone any longer. I disposed of some VHS tapes and some audio cassettes, remember them. I recycled some periodicals, and I dropped a few online subscriptions that really didn't have much relevance to the new period of life that I had just entered. And there was a certain sadness, sense of loss to all that, as I was acknowledging that I was moving from what I really loved doing. But then, so it goes. And to be fair, I also discovered what some of you already know far better than I know, and that there are all sorts of benefits to being retired. Of course, I'm by no means retired from the faith. I remain a believer, and I'm still committed to the mission that we have. And the body of Christ, the church, despite the inevitable ups and downs of a career within it and the danger of becoming a little jaundiced if we're not careful, well, you know, I still love the church, and it remains endlessly fascinating to me. And that's why one of the things I hung on to was my online subscription to an email list that sends me a weekly profile of different congregations. And usually these congregations are in North America, but not always. Sometimes they're in different parts of the world. It's usually a short profile of the local church, something of its history and its ministry. And it comes with specific requests for what that assembly wants us, the members of the wider Christian church, to pray for in relation to the local gathering of the faithful. I find reading these profiles to be important, in part because they take me out of my denominational comfort zone. And they prompt me to remember that in the kingdom of God, we all may be small U united, but it's also by no means exclusively large U united. I'm heartened by the reminder that the church is a much bigger and diverse place than I sometimes like to admit. And God uses these differences to reach and shape into the image of Christ people who, to be quite frank, and maybe you, for that matter, people who would be a challenge to connect with as hard and earnestly as we try. Differences in class and culture and ethnicity undoubtedly enrich us, but they can also sometimes be barriers to us. And so diverse churches can bridge those divides, praise be to God. As I've often been reminded, there are lots of different doors into the church, which is why I celebrate how God raises up different groups of believers to open doors that others would find difficult to open. So I read these descriptions each week, and quite often I go beyond the email itself and I creep out their linked websites to get a better sense of who they are. And by the way, a couple of things. First, while denomination is usually relatively easy to discern, it's interesting to me that it's rarely ever much of the focus. It's not hidden, but nor is it usually presented as a selling feature or a sales pitch these churches use. Second, there's sometimes more focus on the pastor than, in my opinion, is healthy. And don't get me wrong, as you can imagine, I have no small fondness for clergy and the important role that they can serve in a healthy church. I was well aware of that as I prepared to attend Saturday's memorial service for my much-loved colleague and brother in Christ, Brian Robertson. He was a mensch, and I consider it a privilege to have known him. And so, rest in peace and rise in glory, my friend. Then I also know that ministry folk come and they go. And I confess that I have a greater interest in who's always there, even in churches who have no formal pastor. What I'm always looking for is some hint or sign of the risen Christ in their midst. And occasionally during these reads I have, usually on Sunday mornings, I catch a glimpse of Jesus in the midst of the local expression of the flawed faithful we call the church. And that moment is brilliant. And I'm encouraged to press on for another week. And yes, then I usually come down here to get some more encouragement. Our reading from Luke's Gospel this morning might seem like an odd one if you're reading through the whole of chapter 24 and not just looking at the portion that we heard read. I say that because immediately before it is a very, very similar account. It's the one usually referred to as the Emmaus Road story, and these two stories really do parallel one another. You will remember that in the Emmaus Road story, a couple of disciples are on their way out of Jerusalem on that very first Easter, and they're heading to a village called Emmaus when Jesus suddenly appears and joins them on their walk, but for some reason they don't recognize him. He asks them what they're talking about, and they tell him about Jesus, about his crucifixion and his death, and this wild story about how he's now alive again. Jesus then gives them a bit of a talking to about the glacial pace of their faith in the prophets and offers some explanation of the scriptures. And then there's a sharing of a meal, and suddenly they recognize him, and then he's gone. In many ways, the same thing happens in this story as well. It's still Easter night, and these two excited Jesus followers from the Emmaus Road have rushed back to Jerusalem to tell the other gathered disciples of their meeting with Jesus. But as they excitedly finish their story, Jesus again mysteriously appears, and this time they're all terrified, which to my ear sounds very much like last Sunday's Bible reading from John's Gospel, chapter 20, the part that began at verse 19. That was also on an Easter Sunday, and they're also locked away in fear. And like them, the disciples in this morning's account, they're terrified. And at least some of them are afraid that they're seeing a ghost. To this, Jesus offers a most gentle admonition and then gives them the opportunity to touch his body to prove that he is no ghost. And to reveal further evidence of his living presence, he takes and eats a piece of cooked fish. And just like the Emmaus story, again, he gets to talking about Scripture, and their minds are opened in a new way, and now they can make the connections to the promises and the biblical prophecies. So they have this aha moment, and what has been a seeming defeat is now revealed to be nothing less than this cosmos-shaking victory. The old enemies, death and the insidiousness and pervasiveness of sin, those old enemies hadn't just met their match, but they had been crushed in the wee hours of that very morning. And here's, at least for me, the money line in today's reading, and I'm quoting from Eugene Peterson's more contemporary rendering of the text now. He said, "You can see now how it is written that the Messiah suffers, rises from the dead on the third day, and then a total life change through the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed in his name to all nations, starting from here, from Jerusalem, and you are the first to hear it and to see it. You're the witnesses." So these disciples are now designated witnesses, which is, of course, a legal term applied to those who've seen an event and will testify, who will publicly share the evidence of what they've seen. And today, well, that's us. You and me, we're the witnesses. And I now know that there is someone within earshot who's thinking, "Oh no, Phil, please don't go there." As images of aggressive street preachers and bumper stickers asking, "If you die today, do you know where you will be spending eternity, smoking or non-smoking?" And pairs of visitors dressed in office casual on one's doorstep, these images dance in our heads. No. And from my admittedly limited experience, but it is my experience, aggressive evangelism has rarely been a significant issue of concern within the mainstream of the United Church of Canada. So that's not at all what I have in mind. So please keep listening. Do you do video calling? I find that video calls are great. And whether you use Google Meet or Skype or FaceTime, whatever app is your fave, I think it's safe to say that video calling has been a boon to families and friends that are separated by distance or incapacity or for a while, a pandemic. In our house, video calling is a regular part of our life in that it helps us to keep up to date with both of our kids and their spouses, and especially on the growth of our much-adored 15-month-old grandson. Mention of which allows me to shamelessly flash his picture before you. And so we get to see him on a regular basis, and he gets to see us. It's wonderful. We do this all the time, and we're really enjoying watching him grow, especially seeing his personality develop in front of us. But as brilliant as that is, and it really is an enormous gift to us, it's not quite the same thing as being there. We visited both of our kids on the Easter weekend, and of course, during that time, we were able to spend time with and Maul, the little lad, which was, of course, lovely. And while he looks and sounds just like he does on FaceTime, well, there's kind of an intensity, more of an intimacy when you're present. And so we saw all sorts of other things going on that are harder to detect at a distance. There are gestures and patterns in the way he interacts, and tugging on my leg to be picked up, and yes, hearing him say my name. And so it is that there's something that happens in being together with other believers in an intentional way. Remember in Matthew's gospel, after that important lesson about church members forgiving one another, Jesus concludes by saying, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am among them." Remember that? Or how about another promise of Jesus, the one found right at the end of Matthew's gospel? "And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." My distinct impression from reading the New Testament writers is that they experienced the resurrected Jesus in his being present in and with the church. The disciples didn't just claim the bewildering reality of an empty tomb, but they proclaimed and celebrated the ongoing presence of the risen Christ in their fellowship. They could sense him with them. And yes, Jesus clearly promised to remain with his people, and he kept his word doggedly since that promise is made. And it's as true here as it is elsewhere. And that risen presence is pure grace. And that presence remains among believers to this day. You've seen it, and I know I've seen it. And there's precisely nothing we have to do to bring that about. Where two or three are gathered, he's there. There's nothing you can do to create that or to avoid that. But I think there are two responses that flow naturally from that reality. The first is the importance of simply paying attention and opening ourselves up to the blessed opportunity to experience him. Pay attention internally. What was that quickening of my heart about? Where did that thought come from? How is it that I'm experiencing peace in the midst of all the madness of this world? Why am I feeling burdened for someone other than me? See, these can be signs of the presence of Christ. So pay attention internally, but also pay attention externally. Watch for forgiveness. Watch for mercy. Watch for surprising kindness. Watch for unexpected patience. Watch for shocking generosity. Watch for deep humility. Watch for loving and compassionate truth-telling. These things are present when Christ is present. And again, for the record, I've seen all these things repeatedly amongst this fellowship over my tenure here and subsequently. I'm pretty confident we're all not that unique here either. Where Christ is, the kingdom of God will be revealed. So, yeah, pay attention. And the second response is to serve as witnesses. There is wisdom in sharing what we've seen, first with each other, because that builds a church community powerfully. Sharing Jesus sightings has a habit of helping others have Jesus sightings. And that's something that brings life and abundance. As the gospel writer John remembers Jesus saying, "I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." And the risen Christ continues to provide that. And yes, we're called to share that witness with the world. How do you and I do that is a whole subject that's well beyond attempting in our brief time together this morning. I think a sermon series at least. But it is not an optional thing for us. is a critically important necessity, even for shy and retiring United Churchers like us. I'd love to be able to tell you that the people around us will hear about Jesus, and specifically the death and resurrection of Jesus, that Jesus is alive and that Jesus is on the move. I'd love to be able to tell you that they will hear that from our culture or from observing creation, or that somehow they'll spontaneously seek out this person they've never heard of. That may indeed happen somewhere, but in my experience, that is very much a rarity. Somebody somewhere needs to offer a witness. Eventually, we have to speak. We have to say his name. And really, why on earth would we keep this news to ourselves? How are people going to know the truth if we don't share it? Sisters and brothers, this is the very hope of the world. You are witnesses. I'm a witness. So let's witness. Amen.
If you need me, I will hold. Good morning, my friends. I found myself taking a fork in the road with today's prayers. I wanted to get Diane's guidance and approval before I did any of this. She kindly replied that she had no issue with what I felt needed to be said. In fact, she was grateful for the scientific slant some of the prayers have today. Today's prayers are responsive. My bidding is, Lord, help us and guide us. And the response is, in your name we pray. Lord, help us and guide us. In your name we pray. Normally I start with a quote, but today is different. Julie and I were driving to service last Sunday and my science mind kicked in. I taught zoology and anatomy at the University of Alberta for many years, and the biodiversity just jumped into my mind as we drove the highway. I thought of how many different living things that live just on that piece of road. The different grasses, the many shrubs and tree varieties, the creatures both visible and invisible. God the Creator was responsible for all of it. He created a paradise, and we are abusing that creation. Lord, our Father, please help and guide us to care for your creation in every way possible. With your guidance and the creativity you gave us, we can replenish the beauty of your creation. Lord, help us and guide us. In your name we pray. The more I thought of the awesome power of our Lord the Creator, more examples came to my mind. I used to have discussions and debates with my students about the existence of God. My classic example involved our brain. As a student, I was taught that we had 4 billion brain cells. My neurophysiology professor told us that 4 billion brain cells were arranged in so many different combinations that they approached infinity. And here we were trying to study infinity with our finite minds. That always was a sobering thought. Now we know that there are more than 86 billion brain cells arranged in so many complex patterns that it boggles the mind and is as close to infinity as we can get on Earth. So I would tell my students, many of whom only believed in evolution, that can you honestly tell me that 86 billion brain cells arranged in such complexity happened by chance without a guiding hand? God is around us and in us and in everything we do and in everything we have. We need your help, Lord our Father, to know what you have done and are doing for us in every way. Lord, help us and guide us. In your name we pray. Eternal God, we pray for your church around the world, united in your love. Strengthen its mission to reflect your light in the darkness, and to be a beacon of hope and sanctuary for all. Bless the leaders of St. Stephen's, those who minister, preach, and serve. Grant them wisdom, compassion, and courage to lead with integrity and love. May their leadership inspire each of us to live out our faith with action and joy. Lord, help us and guide us. In your name we pray. Creator of all, we lift up our world to you, its beauty and its brokenness. Where there is conflict, bring peace. Where there is suffering, bring healing. Where there is despair, bring hope. Empower us to be the agents of your love, working towards justice and reconciliation in every corner of the earth. We pray especially for the leaders in the war in the Middle East, asking for your grace to abound. Lord, help us and guide us. In your name we pray. Healing God, we pray for all those in need of your healing touch. Comfort those who are suffering in body, mind, and spirit. Restore those who are facing illness, grief, and any form of pain. Surround them with your peace and presence, and provide them with the hope and strength needed for the days ahead. Lord, help us and guide us. In your name we pray. Faithful God, in the silence of our hearts, we offer to you our own prayers and petitions. Guide us in your ways that we may love more fully, serve more faithfully, and follow you more closely. Help us to be bearers of your light, through our lives, your love would be known. Lord, help us and guide us. In your name we pray. God of grace, we thank you for hearing our prayers. Knit our hearts together and send us forth with your blessing to live out your word in the world. I end with a favorite quote from L.R. Knost. Do not be dismayed by the brokenness of the world. All things break, and all things can be mended, not with time, as they say, but with intention. So go, love intentionally, extravagantly, unconditionally. The broken world waits in the darkness for the light that is you. Now let us pray the words that the Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, we thank you for the ways that you give to the mission and work of Jesus Christ here at St. Stephen's. Would you pray with me the prayer over these gifts, offering them back to God for the building of his kingdom? Let's pray. Receive what we offer this day, O God. Bless our gifts and bless this world through the ministries we encourage and support. We make this prayer in the name of your Son and our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We have gathered here together with the risen Christ. So let us go out then as witnesses to these things. Continue to look for his presence, trust in him. Proclaim forgiveness and healing in his name to everyone you know. And may God raise you from death to life, from brokenness to wholeness. May Christ Jesus cast out your fear and your doubt. May the Holy Spirit give your heart joy. Friends, let's go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.
If I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. And if I told you my story, you would hear love that never gave up. And if I told you my story, wasn't mine. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and where mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws. Oh, story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.